Hello, I'm Al Rasmussen for the Missing People Podcast. This program is the continuation of the series created by Kelly Jolkowski called the Introduction to Psychics and Missing People series. Kelly's the founder and president of Project Jason, an organization dedicated to assisting the missing and their family and friends. On June 13, 2001, her son Jason, then 19 years of age, disappeared without a trace and has not been seen or heard from since. That day forever changed Kelly, her husband Jim, and their son Michael's lives. Please be warned that some of the information presented contains graphic descriptions of violent acts which may be disturbing to you. Also, we recommend that young people listen to these programs only with the direct participation of their parents or other appropriate adult guardianship. Marie Parker, friend and advocate for missing Audrey Mae Heron, provided the following contribution to Kelly's blog.
Psychics. How does one feel about them? I can say from experience that it is a roller coaster ride. They take your hope of finding your loved one and put it through a series of ups and downs, and just like the ride, the thrill is over as soon as they are telling you what you hope to hear, because you find later that it did not bring them home or find them. My friend Audrey has been missing almost 4 years now. In our search for her, we have gone through the motions of all that possibly can be done through law enforcement and even further by way of contacting psychics in the desperation of keeping the hope alive that one of them might lead us to her. At first, it was a few dollars here and there for local unknowns, then more dollars for better known ones like Kay Ray. Yeah, like taking a match to your hard-earned money. Then there was the Montel show with Sylvia. I must apologize ahead if what I say next offends her fan club, but she, my friends, is a joke. We, Audrey's father, stepmother, and another friend and I were guests on the show the same day Molly Bish's mother was there. Coincidentally, the same day they found the start of what led to Molly's remains. Sylvia went through her routine with me and told me just what she thought we wanted to hear, along with some crazy story that Audrey had been shot. I was horrified that she did this, as each question I asked was a play by me to see if she even had the slightest clue. She did not. I was horrified for Molly's mother, as you could see that Sylvia was playing on her hopes, yet told her nothing. Meanwhile, her daughter's remains were being discovered right at the very moment of the taping. Why didn't Sylvia know this? You can view a clip of this show that featured Audrey on our website and judge for yourself at tinyurl.com/FJZCK. You see, my view on psychics before I became engulfed in this nightmare of a friend going missing was probably much like anyone else's, not affected by such loss. Fun and entertaining. I knew much of it was just what you wanted to hear, but everyone loves to read their horoscopes, right? When dealing with a tragedy like Audrey going missing, I, like hundreds of others searching for their loved ones, fell victim. I am not saying that some do get lucky and might help solve some cases, but much of that is also based on law enforcement being willing to pull apart what the psychic claims. As for Kay Ray, we had done a tape session with her by phone. She gave us various details in which we all had thought would help Audrey's case. We paid $300 fee and were waiting desperately for the tapes to arrive. They came, and to my horror, they were blank. When I called her to obtain another, she scrambled to even recall our session. She did not know anything she did before, and in fact gave a totally different vision. She did not refund our money, and from that point on, I believe that was the beginning of the end for me as far as psychics go. I no longer was going to pay to have my hope of finding Audrey fulfilled with people who make a living by playing with my emotions. The fact remains that Audrey is still missing, as are thousands of others. Remember that when you contemplate using a psychic to find your loved one. Searching for Audrey, Marie E. Parker.
Amanda Berry was a lovely teenage girl who disappeared from Cleveland, Ohio in April of 2003. She left her part-time job and was never seen again. Her mother, Luana Miller, had a very difficult time dealing with Amanda's disappearance. She suffered from several physical maladies after that, including a bout with cancer of the brain. Days after we returned from filming a missing adult segment of the Montel Williams Show in New York City in November of 2004, I was informed that Sylvia Brown was going to be filming a show. I wondered who her victim might be, as I was also told that at least one of the guests would be a family member of a missing person. It wasn't long before I found out. It was, in fact, one of the cases we worked on, Amanda Berry. I was very concerned because I knew how sick Luana was. I spoke to her friend and advocate, Terry, who shared with me that Luana was a big Sylvia fan and that nothing would dissuade her from making that trip. Cleveland's WKYC reporter, friend, and advocate for Luana, Bill Saffos, went along and was granted a brief interview with Sylvia after the show. He also had tried to convince Luana not to go, but she would not hear of it. I feared the worst would happen at that show. I was right. As typical, Brown told the grieving mother that her daughter was dead. Luana was so overcome with emotion from the revelation that she bolted from her seat and ran up the aisle where the audience was seated. I'm not sure that she ever recovered from the events of that day. In his interview with Brown, Bill Saffos asked, "Are you ever wrong?" "Only God is right all the time, but of course I'm wrong," Brown responded. "But after 50 years of doing this work, I'd better be more right than wrong. I always say I hope I'm wrong. When it comes to this, I hope I'm wrong." Well, Sylvia, just in case you weren't aware, your track record in missing persons cases is rather dismal. And in fact, there are no known successes. That would make you 100% wrong. For fans of Brown, what does this tell you? On her website, she indicates she will not work missing persons cases. In the case of a personal friend of mine, missing Ryan Catcher, his mom, Linda, was told by Brown that he was dead. She gave some indicators as to his body's location. Authorities checked out Brown's claims, but still no Ryan. It is much safer for her to pretend to be able to speak to the dead than it is to claim to know the whereabouts of a missing person. After all, we can't verify the claim about a conversation with the dead, can we? We can, however, know that a lead on a missing person did not solve the case. Luana's health continued to deteriorate throughout the year. She was hospitalized at the end of December and passed away in early March. She was only 44 years old. It was said that she died of heart failure, but I would say, rather, that it was a broken heart. In a newspaper report in the Beacon Journal, a Cleveland-area crime victim advocate named Art McCoy said that Luana Miller had changed after the show. "From that point, Ms. Miller was never the same," McCoy said, "and Amanda Berry is still missing." In yet another meaningless statement coming from her lips, Brown proclaimed on national TV that she would take the James Randi Educational Foundation, or JREF's, $1 million paranormal challenge. Later on, she demanded proof that the money existed. JREF officials sent her the paperwork proving the money exists in the form of immediately negotiable bonds, but she refused to sign for the documents.
Louise Kinslow, mother of missing teen Sarah Kinslow, offered the following comments under the title, "Contradictions, Not Answers."
The first, quote, psychic, end quote, I'll call her Linda, approached my husband John and I in our driveway as we were getting ready to leave. She told us that she had been having dreams about Sarah for quite some time, and that Sarah kept telling her that she wanted to be found. Linda said that she didn't know who Sarah was until recently when she saw her flyer in a store window. She said that she sensed the fragrance of honeysuckle and asked if Sarah wore honeysuckle cologne. She told us of a place where she kept seeing in her dreams and believed that we would find her there. We went over there and found nothing. Linda once called me around 11:30 p.m. to tell me about a dream she had just had about Sarah that awakened her. She suggested that we should look in manholes because she thought that Sarah had been put in a manhole somewhere on a certain highway between our town and another close-by town. By this time, she had decided that Sarah was somewhere near where honeysuckles would grow in the spring. No, we did not go look in manholes. In 2005, after about the third airing of our segment on the Montel Williams Show, I received a phone call from a woman, Robin, whom I believe was from Wisconsin or maybe Minnesota. She told us that she had seen the show and that she felt compelled to call us about Sarah and that she may help to resolve our case for us. She said that she had gained her psychic abilities after one of her sons had committed suicide a few years ago. She told me that there is no charge for her, quote, readings, end quote, that she records on cassette tapes. She cited a case she had worked on and helped to resolve it. I told her that I agreed for her to make the tapes from her readings and would listen to them shortly after we had received them. The tapes arrived about 1.5 to 2 weeks later. As I sat down to listen to them, I knew almost from the very beginning that it was a sham. There were 5 two-sided tapes to listen to. The longer I listened, the more I knew that none of these things were true and felt the presence of evil in her readings and in her voice. In the end, she had Sarah being killed, within a couple of weeks after she disappeared, by a cult that a deputy sheriff was involved with, and her body was supposedly buried in a barn that was in a very remote area where no noise from her screams could be heard. In the conclusion of the tape, she offered to allow us to fly herself and her surviving son to Texas, of course, all expenses paid by us, to help find the area where all these things happened. Of course, I never did contact her, but trashed the tapes. She is out the cost of the tapes and of the postage. I guess she figured nothing ventured, nothing gained. The fact is, though, that I have a video that shows Sarah and another person from after about 5 weeks since she had left home. This is how I cling to hope that she is alive. I have never contacted a psychic about Sarah, and I don't feel compelled to do so. A woman where I work claims psychic abilities and has told me some things that she believes to be true about Sarah. However, she had contradicted herself at least once. I have prayed that if this is not of God, that she would not bring this up to me again. She doesn't bring it up. I have asked her 1 or 2 quick things, as a test, since she first brought it up, but she never brings it up on her own. I could be wrong, but it seems to me that most of the resolutions that psychics have to our missing loved one usually are bad ones. Anybody besides me notice that the psychic on Montel looks evil and contradicts what the Bible says?
Yes, Louise, we notice.
Meg Mullett, who is a forum member of the James Randi Educational Foundation, provided the following contribution under the title, The Amazing Mom Who Knows Things. Meg is truly a typical mom, but her children don't think so.
My 14-year-old daughter thinks I'm psychic. She really does. She believes it 100%. I have freaked her out enough times that she tells her friends things like, No, I can't lie to her. She knows things. The truth of the matter is that I, like most people who call themselves psychic, am actually just a pretty good study of people. I quickly found my mother's lost keys the other day. My daughter saw me think about it for a second, then walked straight to the bathroom and find them behind the toilet. She thinks that this was astounding. I know it's because my mother has a bladder the size of a baby pea and that she often rushes frantically into the house from a car trip on a beeline for the bathroom. It doesn't take superpowers to figure out she probably had them in her pocket when she ran for the toilet and they fell out when she dropped her pants. She's hard of hearing, so she wouldn't hear them when they fell. In general, I'm pretty good at finding lost things for the people I know and love. Not because I have an amazing gift, but because I am observant. Sometimes when the phone rings, I say, "That will be Mary. I'll take it." My daughter picks up the phone or looks on the caller ID and sees it is indeed Mary. And she is properly amazed by my powers. I know it's because either Mary and I talked earlier today and we set a time to call each other again, or because we often call each other right after certain television programs to talk about what happened. She's also the only person that ever calls me after 9 p.m. My daughter logically knows all these things, but she doesn't put them together. She assumes when I say, "That will be Mary," that I'm using my super magic mom powers. I've caught my daughter attempting to lie a number of times throughout her life. The truth of the matter is that my daughter is a terrible liar. Her voice gets a kind of whiny tone, her eyes get shifty, and her hands twitch when she lies. It doesn't take psychic powers to see it and look deeply in her eyes and say, "Now tell me what really happened," and watch her crumble. It is easier to do it now that she thinks I am psychic than it was when she was very little. Now she already believes that I know things, so she's already set up thinking that she won't get away with lying to me. So she's even more nervous and obvious about it when she does it. Don't get me wrong, she's really a great kid, and for the most part is very honest. She's a typical teenager, though, and occasionally does stuff she knows she shouldn't do, and then tries to fib about it. She and a friend walked into the house once, and I asked, "When did you start smoking?" to the friend. They were shocked. They thought they were amazingly sneaky, and no one could have possibly known that the friend had smoked. This, too, was proof of my magical abilities. "See? I told you she would know." The truth, of course, is that I could smell it on her and saw a rectangular cigarette pack shape in her pocket. Mostly, I use my powers for good. When my stepson was an older teenager, back when I was a bit woo-woo, meaning back when I thought there really might be something to this psychic stuff, I would sometimes do tarot readings for him and his friends. I would say things like, "You be very careful this next year. There's baby energy around you." One of them later told me, "Your reading was so true. Two girls in my school got pregnant last year. Definitely a lot of baby energy around. I'm glad you warned me. I've been very careful." I made up the same kind of stuff about drugs. I have never taken money for my gift. I use my powers to do good. Does that mean I'm not a liar, a fake, or a fraud? No. I am a liar. I am a fake, and I am a fraud. No question about it whatsoever. I tricked my kids, and I did it for power over them. It doesn't matter that I did it to get them to do the right thing. It's still a trick. Someday my daughter will figure out the truth, just like my stepson did. James Randi's excellent book, Flim Flam, is in our living room right now. All my daughter has to do is pick it up. We watched his Secrets of the Psychics video just last week. All she has to do is put two and two together. She knows I like to frequent the James Randi Educational Foundation Internet discussion boards. All she has to do is go there and start reading. There's a whole section of bookmarks on our computer devoted to debunking psychics. How to do cold reading, exactly how they do it, all sorts of skeptical stuff. All she has to do is look. All she has to do is ask me, "How did you know that?" And I will tell her the truth. Until she asks, though, she will always be tricked. Until she quits just believing and starts looking, she won't find out the truth. So this article is for those of you who think psychics are for real, especially if they don't charge money, or they do it to help people. I'm telling you straight up that I, a known psychic, just ask my daughter, am a complete and total fake. Even though I've never charged money, and even though I use my powers for good, I am a fake. A big, fat, liar, liar, pants on fire, fake-a-rooney, bend your spoonie. Every single psychic detective in the world is just exactly as powerful and magical as me, the amazing mom who knows things. In this, we are exactly the same. We are fakes, We are liars. We are frauds. But here is how we are different, and this is important. When I hear about a family in the horribly tragic circumstance of having one of their loved ones missing, I don't think, I wonder if I can use them to get my name in the paper, or I wonder if I can exploit them to make a little money. I wonder if I can get a free trip to wherever they are out of this. I don't think it's a good idea to deflect the family's attention away from putting up flyers, questioning people that might have seen something, getting all possible information to law enforcement and/or search parties. In other words, the people and activities that really have a chance of actually finding the loved one. I don't think it's a good idea to deflect attention away from the family's activities of just being there for each other, talking to each other, supporting each other in this time of crisis. I don't think it's a good idea to steal their attention, their money, or their time away from all those good activities in order to send them on a total wild goose chase, searching random places just because I get a goofy brain flash of the number 4 or near trees or I see a yellow house. I don't think it's a good idea to make up horrible graphic stories about their loved one's death and possibly cause these people to give up hope and start grieving for someone that may still be alive. I don't think it's a good idea to make up more fantasies about how the loved one is alive and being held hostage somewhere, in pain, causing untold grief, stress, pain, and heartache to these families. I don't think it's a good idea to impose my dreams, my fantasies, or even my opinions on the family at all. Let's make no bones about this. When I play psychic for my kid, I do it to get something. I do it to get her to stay honest or to alter her behavior in some way, to keep her on the straight and narrow. When these psychic detectives play psychic, they're doing it to get something too. They do it to get attention. They do it to feed their own ego. They do it to feel special. And the worst scumbags of them all do it to make money. Whether they really believe they have this gift or not really doesn't matter. What matters is that these people are indeed the lowest form of predator. They seek out people in a stressful, tragic situation and then exploit the situation for their own self-gratification. These people are the lowest of the low. If I sound angry here, it's because I am. I am angry that these liars are permitted to steal money, publicity, and attention from victims of a tragedy. I am angry that psychic tips waste untold thousands, maybe even millions of our tax dollars because our police and other law enforcement officers have to follow up all tips, no matter how asinine they are. I am angry that newspaper and television stories report that a psychic is working on such and such a case, encouraging a misguided public to be further snookered by this chicanery. I am angry that television stations broadcast programs about psychics that are nothing more than masterful pieces of lies, misdirection, and editing. I am angry that talk show hosts bring psychics onto their programs, encouraging them to hoodwink the American public every week. These people are liars, fakes, and frauds who are preying like vultures on the victims of tragedy. I hope, after listening to this, that if a psychic contacts you offering their version of help, that you feel empowered not only to say no, but maybe use a four-letter word response to their offer. These people have no help to offer. No psychic has ever found a missing person. The only thing they've ever found is how to get money or publicity from grieving people. I am as real a psychic as you'll ever meet, and I'm telling it to you straight. We psychics, every last one of us, are liars, fakes, and frauds.
Missing People Podcast and Project Jason understand that many people believe that psychics are effective in solving crimes and finding missing people. Please keep it in mind that the goal of this series is to help families understand techniques used by persons making these claims and make better decisions about the use of psychics. Project Jason and its volunteers cannot act as a clearinghouse for persons claiming success in using paranormal means to locate missing persons. We instead invite those persons to visit the James Randi Education Foundation at randi.org. That's RANDI.ORG. This has been a Missing People podcast production of Kelly Jolkowski's Psychics and Missing People series in association with Project Jason. Our featured voice talents were Sue Rasmussen as Kelly Jolkowski, Al Rasmussen, and Gene Levins. Audio adaptation by David Anderson. Produced and directed by Steve Bronham. Original music created and performed by Ariana Kima. Copyright 2006-2007 Missing People Podcast and Project Jason. All rights reserved. For additional information about Project Jason, please go to www.projectjason.org. For my co-hosts, Kelly Jolkowski, founder and president of Project Jason, and Steve Bronham, I'm Al Rasmussen for the Missing People Podcast.